The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show. That's only a minute and 11 seconds long, that disclosure. Just so you know, for the record, it's not my idea. It's something that's being mandated in our industry. And I'm sure by, you know, this time next year, there'll be something else that I have to say to not take serious on the show. So anyway, appreciate you guys hanging out with us. It is the Investment Show. It's the first Thursday of the month. So Hot Rod Holloway will be with me here in just a few minutes. We got so much to talk about. So I'm not going to do a lot of news of the week this week. But, you know, I was looking at a couple things in the news this week. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about Bitcoin. Not a lot, because I don't know a lot about it. But I saw the Bitcoin futures plan, a signal to new respect as a real currency. Basically, they're going to start, you know, selling future contracts on Bitcoin, I guess. So that comes from the Wall Street Journal this past Wednesday. We had a new Fed chairperson announced. We had rate decisions from the Fed, at least direction from the Fed. So this is the Investment Show. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the new GOP tax plan that got rolled out just today. We have Rod explain that to us, and also a few comments from myself. And then later on, we're going to be talking about protection with opportunity, kind of looking at the investor emotional cycle. You know, where are we in this current cycle? We'll get Rod's input on that as well. And then if you want to maintain an optimistic view of the markets and you want to stay in the markets, but you're just a little bit unsure, what are some things that you can do from a product standpoint or from an investment standpoint to protect you? So the theme would be protection with opportunity. So we got a lot to talk about, so I'm going to cut it off right there. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Rod Holloway is in the house with me. And Rod, I was talking about Bitcoin, and they're going to start selling future contracts on this stuff. You probably have done more research on Bitcoin than anyone else in the office, and we still don't understand it completely.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, and I think part of the problem with Bitcoin right now is I think there's a whole lot of excitement about the technology that's behind Bitcoin, and that a lot of people are investing in Bitcoin because they believe into the technology. But you have to understand the technology that created Bitcoin isn't Bitcoin itself. You know, the chain system in it that they're utilizing to create that Bitcoin is something that is more than likely going to be used to do a lot of financial transactions more efficiently in the future, quicker, all of those types of things. So don't jump on Bitcoin simply because of that. Now, that's not saying that Bitcoin's not a decent investment. The difficulty, as you just said, Dave, is how do you evaluate something that doesn't have necessarily, you know, hardcore fundamentals? You can't look at it and say their sales are increasing, the margins are going up. You don't have a physical thing that's really there, like a gold. Gold is similar, and how do you evaluate whether gold is a good value or not? Because the price isn't driven by gold jewelry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's driven more by people's fear of devaluation of currencies and inflation and those types of things is to typically why people flock to it. Similar with Bitcoin, people are using it as an alternative to holding the regular currency, but the difference between it and gold is obviously you don't have that physical metal that you can hold in your hand when it comes to Bitcoin.
Yeah, blockchain technology is pretty scary to me, actually. Rod, new Fed chairperson announced today. Trump tapped Powell as a Fed chair, and obviously the markets reacted in a positive way. Give us your thoughts on the transition from Janet Yellen to Mr. Powell.
Sure. I think the most positive thing about it is you're going to maintain some continuity. He's not new to the game. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who's been around. He understands what's going on. People consider him, of all the ones that were being considered, he's probably most closely tied to Janet Yellen as far as his ideas and philosophies. So some people ask, well, why change then if it's basically Janet Yellen 2.0? Well, part of it is, one, he's not an academia.
Right.
You know, normally a lot of the feds, although I think they said Volcker was one that wasn't either, a lot of them are PhD in economics and come in. He has some real practical things he brings to the table because he has worked in the financial industry. So he has actually seen how things move and work
in
versus
life,
about
right.
just learning it in a book and writing papers and coming in. Now, that's not knocking Janet Yellen. I think she's done a wonderful job in doing that, a very smart person, as all of our Fed chairs have been. But I think Powell isn't going to be heavily disruptive. I think he's going to be good. The biggest thing I hear from him is he's a great communicator. So maybe he can do a better job of really laying the message out of what the Fed's trying to accomplish in a way that people understand.
In front of those ridiculous Senate committees or congressional committees where they ask the stupidest questions. I mean, my 16-year-old could ask better questions than some of the congressmen.
Well, and part of the problem with a lot of those committees is they have no clue the stuff they're asking questions about. You know, so how can you know, it's kind of like what's going on with the social media and Facebook and things like that. Most of those people, they don't truly understand the algorithms and the things that are working behind the scenes at Facebook as they try and decipher and detour some of this fake news and bad information that's getting out there. So how can they effectively ask the most important questions needed to know to see if there's some legislation that needs to be done when they don't understand? That's part of the problem with the process. They bring people in, they grandstand, they act like they're really smart about that topic, and in all reality, they don't know a lot about it, which is why it leads to very silly questions sometimes that you're like, really? That's the question you want to ask this guy in the 2 minute time you have?
So you mentioned Facebook. You know, they're obviously in the news because the Russians paid $100,000 in ads and it caused all this crazy disruption, and you know the media is out of control on this. But then the business people are saying, wait a second, you mean you only spent $100,000 on ads and you've created that kind of turmoil? I'm not doing a Super Bowl ad anymore. I'm going to go to Facebook. So I think you know, we're just seeing a lot of interesting things happen right before our eyes. Wayne and his son went to the movie theater the other day. They're the only two sitting in there. I mean, I just don't think that the way that we advertise, the way that we receive information, the way we watch movies or anything is changing. It kind of goes back to the first discussion we had with the blockchain and Bitcoin, and we're definitely in a changing world. Hot Rod, we have, a lot to talk about. The GOP finally rolled out a plan. In fact, I was preparing the show on Wednesday, and I had written out all this stuff about the new GOP tax plan and thought, okay, great. And then they said, oh, it's going to be delayed. I'm like, great. And what are we going to talk about now? Well, fortunately, something came out today, and we do have something to talk about. But as you and I were talking earlier today off air, that what I was hearing seemed to be pretty bipartisan and that it might be able to be pushed through on a permanent basis. But you were like, no, it's still very much driven through party lines. And that's where they're going to pass this thing under Budget Reconciliation Act, which does not require that super majority or whatever they call it. I think it just requires the majority say yes, and the Republicans have a majority, but it will sunset. So all of these taxes and tax changes would sunset in 10 years. So we have 10 years, and hopefully this stuff passes, to enjoy maybe some lower taxes. But the corporate tax rate is looking to be permanent at 20%, which I think is a good thing, and that must be supported by both parties. Otherwise, I don't know how it would become permanent.
Yeah, and that's what I haven't fully understood. They keep talking about the corporate tax rate being a permanent change, and I haven't heard anybody say why that one gets to be permanent, and the personal income tax changes aren't permanent. I mean, I understand the reconciliation and what you talked about there. I just don't get why the corporate doesn't fall under that same rule. But, hey, I'm not a tax expert.
Right, right.
I don't participate in tax law. I'll leave that to somebody else to decipher and then tell me why it works that way.
Well, and hopefully we'll know more as the weeks go on, and we'll find out, you know, when they're going to implement this. I'm assuming it's going to take effect 2018. I don't see than maybe retroactively.
Yeah, haven't heard any talk on retroactive. And obviously, it's going to change a little bit.
Right.
You know, they're
going
to have a markup phase. They're going to get in there. They're going to have to make some changes. There's a couple of things in there right now that you already have a few Republicans stepping up saying, oh, I don't know that I can go for that. And you need all the Republicans. I mean, you can afford to lose two, maybe three, end up in a tie, and then Mike Pence gets to be the tiebreaker, and we all know what he's going to do. So
the things we're seeing so far, bigger standard deduction, doubling up that. We're seeing pass-through entities getting a little bit of a break, which would be a company like ours where you have money that passes through to the owner's tax return. Even though they don't necessarily use that money personally, they have to pay at that 39.6% rate and also state tax. We're seeing some good things. I was listening to the news and hearing things that sounded very, very positive. So we'll see, but we'll give you more information as time goes on. I think this is going to be a big deal for people that are older, especially those that are over 70 and a half and are required to take minimum distributions, because if you receive a double standard deduction on your tax return, that qualified charitable distribution rule that we talk about, giving money directly from your IRA to the charity, and it's not included in your income taxes, or not including your income, and it satisfies minimum distributions, would be absolutely huge opportunity there for sure. Rod, I chuckled this week. Eric, I think, was the first one that sent it around. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, was giving a little tutorial to the media on how our current tax code works. And then I actually watched the video. It was about 5 minutes long. I thought maybe I could throw this over to you, and you walk people through the way she described our current tax law, current tax system, and it was actually quite funny.
Yeah, it was. It was a very good video. I enjoyed it when I had saw it over the weekend. And as you said, Eric, our fixed income guy, passed it around. Now, understand, this video came out before today's release.
Mm-hmm.
It's not using any sort of real numbers from the tax plan or anything like that. She's just given an example, really, of trying to show how people can utilize some of the information to make it seem like one thing's happening, but in all reality, if you really explore the whole picture, it's a little bit different. So this is kind of how it goes, which is basically she says, okay, 10 reporters decide they're going to go out to a bar for a beer, and they decide they're going to split the beer or split the bill when they're done. The tab is $100. So they look at it, and they're evaluating all of the 10 reporters and say, okay, the first four reporters, they don't make anywhere near as much as everybody's. They're not going to pay anything on the bill. The fifth reporter makes a little more. He'll pay $1. Sixth reporter will pay $3. Seventh reporter will pay $7. Eighth reporter will pay $12. Ninth reporter will pay $18. The 10th reporter, who makes the most money out of all 10 reporters in there, he's going to pay $59 of that $100 bill. So they continue this. They go. They enjoy it. The bar owner says, hey, wow, this is great. You guys have been great patrons. You come in on a regular basis. I want to do a benefit for you guys. I'm going to drop your tab to $80. So no longer are you going to have to pay $100. You're only going to pay $80. Well, they all like that, of course. So they start talking. Hey, how are we going to do this? Well, they evaluate. If they just do an average savings, that doesn't work, because the guys in the middle actually start getting paid to drink beer. So they decide, okay, yeah, not a bad thing for those two, but the other people don't necessarily like. So they decide, hey, let's stick with this progressive theme that we have, similar to what we're doing right now, similar to our tax plan. So they say, okay, so the first four will still pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fifth guy, he will also pay nothing now as well. So he's got a huge savings, 100% savings. He was paying $1, he now pays $0. The sixth guy pays $2, 33% savings. The seventh guy pays $5, a 28% savings. Eighth reporter pays $9, a 25% savings. The ninth reporter pays $14, a 22% savings. The 10th reporter now pays $49, a 16% savings. So they settle up on the bill on this the first time of the new $80 bill. They step outside and they all start talking about it. And the sixth guy goes, wait a minute here. I only received $1 of that $20 savings. That's not fair. The seventh guy goes, yeah, hey, you're right. I only received a $2 savings. Why does the 10th guy save $10 on his? That's not fair. I agree with them. So then you get to the first four reporters. I said, I got no savings. none at all. This new system.
I'm mad. I got it for free. I didn't save a penny.
This new system is unfair, and it exploits the poor. So the nine people yell at the 10th guy. They make him feel really bad about the $10 savings he got.
With the lowest percentage of savings,
right,
by the way.
Lowest percentage of savings, but the highest dollar number. So he was still paying the most out of anybody, but he had the biggest savings. And so they yell at him, make him feel bad. He doesn't come back to the bar the next day. The other nine reporters go in. They do their same drinking. They get their $80 bill. They get set down to divvy it up. You know what they find out? They don't have enough money to pay it anymore now that the 10th guy isn't there. So that's the way our system works.
Sounds like the state of California.
Exactly. The bulk of it is paid by that 1% that we always want to hammer, you know, because they're wealthy. They can afford to pay it. They need to pay more. Well, you know what? They do pay more. They pay more than anyone else does. Now, that doesn't mean that they need a huge tax break. But the point of what she was trying to get across is you can't purely look at simply a dollar number and determine the fairness of it. The reality is the poorest reporters in this story had the biggest savings. Mm-hmm. If you're not paying anything for those four that didn't get a savings in their pay, if you're not paying anything, how do you save money on taxes? I mean, do you expect somebody to start paying you for that now? And the 10th and the richest guy had the lowest amount. So, you know, wade through, and this comes from both sides. You know, the Republicans going to spin it their way. The Democrats are going to spin it their way. So this isn't one bad, other good. You have to understand who you're listening to and then kind of dive into the numbers and look behind the numbers that they're telling you, because they're only going to give you the part of the story that suits their cause and their agenda.
This is going to be a good segue into the next segment, where I saw an article that the savings rate drops to a 10-year low in America. And I'm like, wait a second, that can't be true. Well, just as you said, Rod, as I started to look a little bit deeper, peel back the layers of the onion, I saw what the real story was. We'll be back to talk about that and more. It's The Investment Show, Your Money with David Hayes. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, everybody. She's hard to get mad at. I don't care who you are. She just has that wholesome sort of girl next door look and feel about her, and I just think it's hard for people to get mad at her, and she's probably in the perfect position. But if you want to see that actual talk, I think now if you would just Google the Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you know, briefing, I'm sure it would be the very first thing that pops up.
Yeah, I know it's floating around on Facebook. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, so
it's in lots of places.
It
should be pretty easy to find.
Okay, so you've heard me say that, listen, the peak of the baby boom generation, immigration adjusted, born in 1961, which means today they're all in their late 50s. Their kids are gone. They're saving like wild people. They're paying down debts. And all of a sudden, and that's where most of the people are, and all of a sudden I look at this article that says the savings rate in America has dropped to a 10-year low, and I'm going, wait a second, this cannot be true, because I know demographics, I know predictable patterns, and I know that they're saving a lot of money. And I kept thinking, okay, well, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe the millennials are now entering the workforce at a rapid pace, and they just don't have the money to save. Maybe that's it. But no, that's not it at all. Interestingly enough, in the savings rate, all they calculate is what I bring home and what I save of that. They don't count what I saved at work in my 401k plan. So just like in the inflation numbers, where they don't include food and energy, because, of course, no one uses food and energy, so why would you include that in an inflation number? They don't include 401k savings at work, because, of course, that's not savings, right? They call that investing, which is interesting. So, again, a play on the words, play on the numbers. People are saving a lot. They're just saving it in their 401k plans. And the millennials are saving a lot in their 401k plans. And here's why. The baby boom generation didn't have anyone to look to say, hey, what am I supposed to be doing to prepare for this retirement thing? Because their parents had pension plans and Social Security, and that took care of pretty much everything. What they had to save was very little. So they were the first generation that were on their own when it came to saving. So now, as their kids are entering the workforce, just as I would say to my son, just as you would say to your kids, hey, get in that 401k right now, put in 10% right now. I don't care if you can't buy that extra, you know, case of beer or whatever at the end. But the parents are the ones saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. No one was there to tell them that whenever it came around in the 80s that, hey, this 401k thing announced. So just as Rod was saying before, when people start to just throw things out there, don't take it for, you know, the cover. I mean, dig down into it and understand it before you, you know, make a judgment call. So I kept thinking, I know I'm not wrong about this, Hot Rod. I know I'm not wrong about this, and I wasn't wrong, so I didn't have to come on air and admit to it.
Yeah, well, that's one of those things that is always kind of messy when you look at government-reported numbers and the things that they they choose to include or exclude from that, because you're not getting a good idea of savings by not including 401k. Because here's the deal. If you're only looking at true savings account, who wants to save money there? What are you getting paid? 0.25%?
Well, people save outside of work when they're unsure about their situation. If I'm unsure that my job's going to be there, I'm going to be putting back some nuts for later. Or if I know that I, you know, need to put new windows in my house or roof on my house, I'll start saving. But right now, you know, people are feeling good. I mean, they're feeling good about their job security. They're feeling good about their 401k statements. They're just feeling good. And I don't care if you have no money in the market. I have a niece that, you know, struggles along and works at different places. But anyway, she doesn't have any money to save or invest. She just doesn't. But yet, the sense of that everything feels good gives her sort of this feeling of, all right, yeah, I'm going to go spend money at Christmas time. I'm not worried about putting money back because I'm comfortable. If I don't have this job, I can get one over here. So, Rod, I think it's a mental thing. I think that people mentally feel good about where things are right now from an economic standpoint, maybe not from a political, maybe not from a geopolitical, or, you know, because, I mean, golly, how can you feel good about, you know, every time you turn around, there's a terrorist attack happening, you know, here or abroad. But economically, people are feeling good.
Yeah, and I think that is overlooked, as you mentioned, Dave, a lot, not only from the consumer and the individual person and how good they feel and where consumer confidence, but even from the business owner. He feels better about situations today. He feels less under attack for being a successful business owner. So when they feel better, they're more likely to expand their business and potentially hire new people or maybe improve the benefits package to the existing people they have, because you're starting to get a competitive workforce out there. So now you've got to start worrying about, hey, this is my best employee. Well, my best employee is my competition's, you know, next best hire.
Right.
So I have to do something to encourage him to stay with me so that he didn't get taken by someone else. So yeah, when emotionally you feel better, you're more likely to do more positive things, invest those dollars in capital and new machinery. Same thing with the consumer. They go out and spend money when they feel good about the opportunities that are presented to them. And as you said, even with people right now that have a lower skill set, they still feel pretty good that if they lose this current job, there's plenty of job openings out there, even with low skill set, that they can go get another one.
Well, right here on the station, Panama Properties, I hear it every morning advertising for people. Cook Incorporated have full page ads in the newspaper begging people to come apply for production work. So, yeah, I mean, I would feel good about that. And you know what, folks? That's going to create wage pressure. Wages are going to go up. And when wages go up, you know, we have inflation, we have growth, and I mean, golly, if you look at economic growth right now, we received the third quarter GDP numbers. They came in and beat expectations. That's two quarters in a row of 3% economic growth. Many people didn't expect that, but listen, that's two in a row. Now, that doesn't necessarily make a trend, but I don't feel like things are going to be slowing down anytime soon. We've had great earnings reports across all sectors for the most part, not all sectors, but most sectors. We've had announcement of a new Fed person this week. All kinds of great things are happening. But listen, we are in our eighth year of this economic recovery. And we understand that people are looking for reasons to doubt how long this will go on. I mean, every single meeting, Rod, that's the discussion. This can't go on forever. But just as we saw last week, earnings growth, solid economic data, they're continuing to emerge, and that's contributing to positive market performance, and here we are today.
Yeah, exactly. And every one of those comments that this can't go on forever, I agree fully. It can't. It won't. But here's the thing. No bull market, and I've said this before on the radio show, so you've all heard it. No bull market has died of old age. They just don't. Something happens that stops the growth of the economy. Mm-hmm. Typically, it's a recession. That's the most common theme. Sometimes it's something else, such as the financial crisis in 07, 08, that then push you into a recession. But they don't just die because, they don't go on for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. Typically, on average, they haven't. But all of the ones that ran for a long period and eventually quit for a reason, not because it had gone on for too long.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the investor emotional cycle. I think this thing is so cool to talk about. I'm going to ask Rod where he thinks we are in this emotional cycle, because like we said, emotions do matter. And then we're going to talk about investment products or strategies that can protect you. If you are one of these people, and I think everyone naturally would be this way, to say, you know what, how much longer can this go? I'm afraid to get out. I'm afraid to stay in. Maybe there's some things you can do, and we're going to share some of those, to stay in the game, but to have some protection. So we're calling that protection with opportunity. And I stole that from our 2008 or 2007 year, first of the year commentary, which almost seemed like we were prophets, Rod, because on there we were talking about protection with opportunity. Protection from this, 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 and this, but opportunity because of this, 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 and that. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this emotional cycle, later on products to protect you, and then we'll be wrapping up the show before you know it. Man, this thing goes fast. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right. You know me. I have to wait for that start to come in before I jump in. Your Money with David Hayes. It is the investment show. Hot Rod Holloway is in the house. And it's so funny. Rod and I have been together at our office for 21 years. And I think I've called him Hot Rod since day one, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know any time. So just like, we're walking down the hallway at work, and I'm like, hey, Hot Rod, hey, Hot Rod, hey. I mean, it's not, hey, Rod, how's it going? It's, hey, Hot Rod. So it's just natural that I say Hot Rod. Well, now, just about anyone and everyone that walks into our office who is a listener of the radio station will say, oh, it's Hot Rod. Yep, it's Hot Rod, all right. So it's just like my wife. My pet name for her is the Queen. And whether we're at home, I'll say, hey, Queen, hey, Queenie. And now most of my friends call her the Queen, and it just kind of sticks. So Hot Rod it is. Hot Rod Holloway.
I'm also starting to get it from some of the outside institutionals, salespeople that are calling to see if there's a way that they can do some business with us. They've obviously done some research. They've gone listening to the radio show, because a couple of them, they've called and they asked for me, and then they go, should I call you Hot Rod? And I laugh and giggle and say, well, that is my radio name, but I'm okay with just Rod.
It's more more than radio name. In fact, this is how it happens. They call me. And I say, I don't do anything without Hot Rod knowing about it or him approving it, so you got to call him. So that's probably how it happens. You know, this emotional investor cycle has been published for a long time, but I always find it interesting that when you start to feel the market go up, people tend to create, you know, an optimistic view of things. They have optimism. And then you get to the point where things are going pretty darn good and you get excitement. You get the sense of excitement. And then later on, it's like thrill. And, you know, it's like, wow, man, I'm having the greatest experience of my life. And then you move into an area of euphoria where it's just like you're out of your mind. I mean, you just are to the point of taking maximum financial risk. You just don't have any doubt that things are going to continue to go well. The new normal, you've heard about it all before. And I kind of wonder where we are in this cycle, because, you know, I see boots on the ground every day. You know, I see real people with real anxiety, with real accounts. Versus, you know, just kind of guessing where people are in this cycle. And I think it matters, because if you get to the point of euphoria, if you get to the point where you're in an Uber and the Uber driver is telling you about all these great investments that he's making or that she's making, which, by the way, happened to me when I was out of town in Tampa just a week ago. So I started thinking, are we to the stage of euphoria? Well, as I took a step back, I'm like, no, we're not, because I see people every day, and they certainly, they're happy, they're excited, they might even be thrilled, but they certainly, Rod, are not euphoric. So I don't think we're to the point where we would start to move down this other side of this emotional cycle where you would start to see markets drop and get a little anxiety, which you would have happen, and then it goes down even more, and you're in denial, then fear, and then desperation, panic, and then you get to the point, like a lot of people were in 2009, capitulation, and despondency and depression before hope returns, relief, and then back to optimism again. So, I mean, I'm going to pitch this over to you, Hot Rod. If you're looking at the average person out there, I don't know, maybe excitement, maybe thrill.
I think we're somewhere around the cautiously excited area. I think the biggest telling thing for me that tells me we haven't hit euphoria is the amount of people who continue to say, This can't go on forever.
Right.
The amount of people that are nervous about putting new dollars to work because of where the stock market it is today. That's not euphoria. Euphoria says, hey, you know what? I don't care how high the stock market is today. I'm piling all my money in because it's only going to go higher.
March of 2000.
Yeah. So we're a ways away from it. Doesn't mean we're not approaching it. It doesn't mean that people aren't feeling good and aren't excited. But yeah, there's just too much doubt about where we're at and can we continue to move to the upside to say we've hit euphoria yet.
Now, a lot of folks, if you're a few years from retirement or a few years from needing the money, you should be putting some money in protection mode. Now, if you're in a 401k plan, it's hard to protect it because most of the time you end up, you know, moving it to a bond fund. Well, if interest rates go up, bond values go down. And if you're in a fund, there's no way to protect that. Some of the plans have stable value plans, or maybe where you're in like the G fund if you're in a thrift savings plan through the federal government, or if you're in the Monroe County school plan, they have a stable value that might be a better alternative than a bond fund just so that you don't lose that money. But if you're always thinking about my money of now, soon, and later, now money I'm just going to keep it in the bank. I don't want to put it in any kind of an investment. Now is money, or soon money is money I need sooner than later. That needs to be protected, and that bridges my time horizon to my later money. The more conservative you are, the more soon money you should have. The more aggressive you are, the less soon money. That means more money in the later bucket. But if you are maybe in a 401k plan and you're over 59 and a half, your plan may allow for an in-service distribution where you can roll money out from your 401k, still continue to participate, still keep putting money in into an IRA, and then have all kinds of different investment products or strategies that you can do to maybe protect some of that money. Now, if you're young, many, many years away, don't worry about it. I mean, but if you're closer to ringing the cash register, then yeah, you should start thinking about it. If you're young, I mean, golly, think about it. If you have $100,000 and you lose 20%, now you have $80,000, but yet you're putting in 10% of your pay, and with your match, maybe $10,000-$20,000 a year's going in, you're buying stuff's cheap, really cheap. Now, if you have $500,000 and your account goes down 20% or 100 grand, I mean, you can't hardly put enough money in without a pretty strong recovery to get back to even. It takes a lot. And it's interesting that when stuff like that happens, when we have big declines, it's just the opposite reaction that people have. It's not, hey, I'm buying it cheap, I should buy more. It's like, I'm not putting any more money into that. That's good money after bad. If Kohl's has a big sale, or Target, or anyone, people go there quickly to buy whatever it is they want to buy. When real estate prices drop, when stock prices drop, guess what? People do the exact opposite. So you need to keep that in mind when things go down. But I think if you segment out your money now, soon, later, it helps kind of put that into perspective. So let's do a little break here. We'll come back, talk about some of these different investment strategies and products that have been designed and been pretty creative in helping people protect what it is that they have. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, folks, before I forget, I want to talk about this class we're doing through IB Tech. It is through the Center for Lifelong Learning, but it's focused on state employees. So not only will we go through all of the different things we always go through with our retirement readiness class, from, you know, getting mentally prepared for retirement to creating income streams in retirement, estate planning, taxes, asset protection, all of that. But we're going to be real specific and talk about some of the new NPERVS rules and changes. We're going to talk about how to calculate and get the most out of your pension benefit, what choices that you have, which ones you should make, what to do with your annuity savings account once you retire. And again, what about choosing the right survivorship options? Then we're going to talk how to turn your 403B, 401As into a lifetime income stream, all of that, plus the normal stuff that we teach on. And that will be coming up soon, I say December 5th and the 12th. So if you'd like to attend, that's $15 to come. It's through the Center for Lifelong Learning. Just email us over at cfci.us, and we'll make sure that we get you registered and get all that stuff worked out. So it should be a good one. I think so far we just put it out, and we have 30 or 40 people already signed up. We're going to cap it at 50, and then after that we're just going to take a wait list and probably try to do another class after the first of the year. But, Rod, people are dying for this kind of information. It's hard to find. It's hard to get, especially in a educational environment, not a sales environment. I mean, one thing about IB Tech is they're there to ensure the educational experience. So I think that's probably why it's so stinking popular.
Yeah, it's hard to get that information and to understand it. And the state does have some quality people that can explain it to you, but they're very limited. There's only a few of them, and there's a whole lot of workers that participate in the program. So I met with someone about a month ago that had just met with somebody that did a wonderful job of laying out all of the options and how the plan worked and all of that. And they said it was a great person. Once again, they're limited in how many people they can see that are preparing for retirement.
And they're not going to be able, or are they qualified to discuss how you incorporate or coordinate your investments in Social Security and spousal benefits.
Yeah, I didn't talk anything about the investments, income distribution, none of that. It was simply, here's what you have, here's the choices that you will have available to you when you decide to retire, and just about the plan itself as a state employee. So they can't give you all the info, but I know there's some people out there that got good, valuable information. They're just strapped for time because they can't go around and see everybody
that
needs to know the information.
Well, that's the same with the Office of Personnel Management for the federal government. That's true of a lot of HR departments, period. So we're glad to do it. We have one for the Board of Realtors scheduled in February. We have this state employee one scheduled for December, and then we're going to come out with more in 2018 with Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning. All right. Protection with opportunity, a theme I stole from 2007 when we did our tip-off report, talking about how to protect what you have but also still stay in the game. And what I mean by that is, let's say that the stock market does continue to go up. Now, can it go up another 10% next year? Sure. Can it go down 10%? Sure. I have no idea. There's only three things that can happen. It's going to go up, down, or sideways. And no one, and I mean nobody, can tell you where it's going to go. They can guess. They can speculate. We can talk about earnings and fundamentals and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're worried about this stuff, you should do something about it. Now, does that mean you take it all out and stick it into a hole somewhere or under the mattress? No. There's been investment products created for this. And I'm going to talk about just a couple of them because there's several of them. But one of them is an annuity. Now, I know when the name annuities mentioned and you hear the, advertisements like, why I hate annuities, that's because they're only giving you, once again, limited information. There's four types of annuities out there. A fixed annuity, which is like a CD to a bank. They pay you a fixed amount of interest and a fixed maturity date, no cost to you. There is an immediate annuity, which isn't really that popular right now, but it can be. You give money to an insurance company. They give you a pension-like income you can't outlive. Boom. No cost. It's fixed. The third one is a variable annuity. That's the one that really gets beat around the most, and rightly so. It's kind of an expensive product. You get features and benefits with it. Most of it's for income or death benefits. But the other one, and this is one I wanted to talk about, is a fixed indexed annuity. Now, there's a lot of different variations of this, and depending on the amount of protection that you want in any given year will limit or determine how much you can get on the upside. The thing that most people are concerned about is a correction. What's a correction? Well, by definition, about a 10% move down in the market. Okay, so if that's what I'm worried about, why don't I just protect the first 10% of losses on the S&P 500? Well, you can do that. And for that, you're going to be limited to make 8 or 8.5% in any given year. So I can make up to 8.5%, but I can't lose if the market's down less than 10. If it goes down 12, I'm going to lose 2. That's one version. There's a 15%, 25%, 100% protection. But for everything you get, you're going to give something up. Now, most people will say when I present this concept to them, and we're doing a lot of this with those in-service distributions I mentioned, 59 and a half or older. Hey, let's pull it out. Let's protect some of it. Not all of it, but some of it. So you feel better. Create that soon bucket. But they'll say, how can they do this? And trust me, folks, nobody in this industry is in it for charity. They're in it to make money, and they make money. But I always say to people, you know what? I can tell you how this works, and I'm going to have Rod explain it here in a second. But I'm one of these kind of people that appreciate the fact that I can get in my car, turn the key, put it in drive, and drive it down the road. And it got me where I needed to go, and I knew how to operate it. I knew, the basics, but I don't know how that all happened. I don't know how, the combustion happened and fired up I don't know any of that stuff. And quite honestly, I don't even care. I just want to I want to know the features and benefits, and that's it. So that's the kind of person I am. But some people, engineers, not trying to make fun of my engineer buddies, but they like to know how in the world this stuff works. And Rod, it basically allows an individual to access a very complex institutional way of managing money, and that's through buying bonds and options. We have about 3 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Eric Geisler, our fixed income guy, used to help design and write these strategy. So that's why we know so much about it. Basically, I'm going to go back to the simplest, easiest form of these indexed annuities. And as you talked about, you've got a lot of new things, the buffers, 10% down, 15% down, all of that. The basics of it is you look at an index, the S&P 500, and you put your money into the fixed indexed annuity, and it's going to be tied to the S&P 500. Okay. Well, that insurance company is giving you some sort of protection, whether it be principal protection or a small gain. Sometimes it used to always be 3% on 90% of your money. Well, the way they're protecting your principal is they're taking a chunk of your money that you give them, and they're going out and they're buying treasury bonds, safe government U.S. treasury bonds. They know they're not going to default. They know they're going to get
or
the money back.
Or high-quality corporate bonds of some kind.
Right. They're going to have an interest payment. So they know that if the stock market blows up, here's how we are guaranteeing your principal to return, plus maybe a nominal return on top of that. The money that's left over after they build the bond portfolio to take care of your principal component is then used to go out and buy a derivative or an option contract on the index, so the S&P 500. Because interest rates are so low right now, more of your money gets eaten up in that principal protection bond part of the portfolio, meaning you have fewer option contracts that you can buy to participate, which is why you don't get more participation. Back in the good old days, it used to be a participation rate. They tell you get 80% of the market. So if S&P went up 10, you got 8. Now they've created a lot more different ways, daily averaging, those types of things. You don't see it spelled out as a participation rate. But the reality is you're not going to get full participation in the market. Right now, because of where interest rates are, the participation is considerably lower than the market when you see large market returns like we've had right now. But it doesn't mean it's not a good way to protect money if you're fearful and you feel as though, hey, you know what? I've saved this. I need this for retirement in 3 years. Or like you said, this is my soon money. Mm-hmm. I need to protect it. So go ahead and protect it. You don't need maximum return on the soon money. You need soon money to be available when you retire in 3 years to turn on that income stream.
If you have a lot of money, you can do this yourself. We've done it for people.
Exactly.
Before, buying bonds, putting options in place. But for the average person, it just doesn't make sense to try to do that complex strategy.
It takes a lot of money. You have to have a good understanding of the derivatives market, and it takes a lot of money to truly put that package together. So, yeah, we've done it for some individuals. Most people can't do it. Therefore, that's what the insurance company is there for. They created the product. There is an expense to it. They are in business to make some money, but they do work from a standpoint of giving you a little bit of peace of mind and locking in some gains and protecting those.
So, folks, that's how the sausage is made. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Just about a minute or so left in the program. Hey, don't forget, it's open enrollment season for Medicare. If you have questions, if you want answers, please, please email us at cfci.us. We'll connect you with our buddy Josh Norris, who can give you all the answers and maybe even help direct you in a way to save you a few bucks on your Medicare supplement premiums. And don't forget also, if you're interested, if you're a state employee and would like to attend the retirement readiness class for Indiana public employees, just email me again over at cfci.us and we will make sure that you get registered. It costs $15 to come. You get two great textbooks. It's 5 hours of content over two nights. So there's a lot of information. I always say it's like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. A big fire hydrant over the course of two nights. Hey, we take it easy on you. We make it fun. We make it entertaining and very, very informative. And if you're a state employee and you're interested, give us an email at cfci.us. Hey, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.